Hello, everybody. I'm back on the air today. Been a while, maybe a week since we last did a podcast, but today is Sunday, October 21st, 2018, and I'm just down here chilling out. Wife's getting my son to bed. My daughter's getting cleaned up for tomorrow. Back to the grind. Work for me and school for my daughter and stepson, and work on therapy and homeschool work for my youngest son, and my wife does all that with him. So get ready for the week. But I want to talk to y'all tonight. I mentioned something, I think, last week about my we have three kids. My stepson, my wife's from a previous marriage, and he's 17. And he's basically on the autism spectrum, but it's more developmental delay and Asperger's. Goes to school, works part-time job, and anyway, with him, we see on as far as autistic behaviors, it's more like social stuff and then some expressive language. Don't really see a lot of behavioral issues other than just almost like sometimes we'll obsess over stuff and not let stuff go, but mostly just doesn't realize like, hey, this is inappropriate, that's inappropriate, and the things he'll sometimes say or how he'll act, So, but anyway, in autism, it's defined as like a neurobehavioral disorder, but it's more neurological, and can affect behavior, sensory processing, speech, communication, like with my stepson, language. Like he always had trouble when he was younger, because I've been around since he was five or six. But you still use the same word over and over and over to describe things. And with him, it took a long time for my wife to get him diagnosed properly, and so it took a while to figure him out. With my youngest son, he turned 9 in July, and with him, he had progressed normally, met all his milestones, and then around probably 10 months old, started kind of regressing. He had crawled pretty early, wasn't walking yet, but was saying a few words, and then all of it went away. And we had a hard time figuring out what was going on with him, and very upsetting for me. My wife had a hard time with my daughter, who we found out like a week before, or if even that long before she was born, that she had a spot on her spine, and she was born with spina bifida, and she had a neurotube defect and had like spinal fluid that would leak out and create a sac. But anyway, but yeah, with my youngest son, everything was good, and it just suddenly regressed. And we took him to the doctor, pediatrician, around 12 months, and he wanted to give him another 2 or 3 months, and nothing happened. And luckily, he started us on speech therapy, occupational therapy, and physical therapy. And he did that. And so my son was already getting the therapies, way early before he was maybe around, year and a half, not a year and a half, but maybe 15 months, 16 months. But it took a long time. We actually had to go from down here in Corpus to Austin to find a neurologist that would give us a time of day. And back then, they didn't have any developmental pediatricians down here, so it was really hard to get someone to look at him to give us a diagnosis. And had the MRI of his brain. His pediatrician initially thought cerebral palsy, but that wasn't it. And we went and saw, it was called Specialty for Children, and Dr. Elton was her name. And we went and saw her in Austin, and it was like March of 2011. And spent an hour there, asked questions. She examined him, talked to him, talked to us, and had a diagnosis of that. And that was autism. And his thing was speech delay, sensory processing disorder, autism, and I can't remember what else, but he didn't really start talking fully until he was like 4.5 years old, and it was crazy. And then sensory processing, he would have meltdowns because he'd get too much input of a certain environment, or couldn't take him to the store or anything like that. He'd have meltdowns. And anyway, it was crazy for a while and very scary, especially at that age. You can't communicate with your child. And so we used to have to, if he'd get upset or something, we'd have to look around the room, or just look at the situation. What was he doing? What was going on right before that to try to figure out what he needed? Because a lot of times, it was left something in a room or lost his drink cup or whatever. And we, couldn't tell us that, of course. And so we'd have to look around and figure it out. And it was crazy, crazy. He's actually down here now. He came down to get one of his stuffed animals. So anyway, but yeah, it was wild. And then the therapy, as he got older, we did more and more research. As we researched, back then, the driving force behind his day was sensory. So if he was off with his sensory, you couldn't teach him anything. He wouldn't do anything. It was just very, very stressful. And so we had to find therapists that knew about sensory processing. And so we did that. The speech therapist, she would work with him. And we went through probably six to get where we were for quite a while. And he had always had home health. And so we had to fire six different therapists because they didn't know what they were doing when it came to sensory. They may have been very good at normal therapy, therapy with a neurotypical child, but it wasn't meeting his needs and he wasn't progressing. So we'd have to call the home health agency and say, "Hey, this isn't working. We need someone else." And they'd always get us someone else. And I only had three really good ones, and then stuff came up to where two of them, well, yeah, we eventually had to go to a therapy facility for his occupational, but then his speech therapist left, and we have one now who's really good, and she works with him, and she comes to our house, but we're fixing to have to get physical therapy, and we'll just probably go to the same clinic because it's, I guess they don't get paid a lot or whatnot with home health, the way insurance companies work. And so it was, it's hard to find them down where we're at. Now, other parts of the state, it may be a lot easier. I've seen a lot of complaints almost every area, every state. I mean, there's good areas, there's bad areas, but Yeah, you've got to like definitely make sure that the therapist that your child sees, if they're on the autism spectrum, is more geared towards what their issues are and their diagnosis, because there is no one size fits all with therapy or, just regular treatment. And anyway, as he's gotten older, couple of things that also popped up, because we don't see the sensory driving his days so much anymore, but he's very obsessive compulsive and will obsess over things and keep going over something, repeating. And then also his behavior and his anxiety for a while, we couldn't even get him in a car. I mean, he was afraid of dogs, never had a reason to be afraid of dogs. He's afraid of like younger kids. He'll talk to almost any adult, but younger kids, they just freak him out for some reason. And then dogs, and he's never been bitten by a dog, never had a dog jump on him, so we never could figure out. I think he had a dream one time where a dog was trying to bite his feet. And I don't know if he couldn't differentiate between that being a dream and reality or what, but I think that's kind of what got it all started. And anyway, we had to put him on anxiety medication, which we've always avoided it up to this point, but it was to a point where he couldn't even function and leave the house. And we have to leave the house, so unfortunately, it came to that. But yeah, so it's been a crazy ride. But he's speaking a lot better. He's still at times his garbled words and hard to understand, but for the most part, he can communicate pretty well now. And like I said, he's 9, so he's been having therapy for at least about 7.5, 8 years with speech. So he's come a long ways. I'm sure he still has a long ways to go, but he's hanging in there. And right now we homeschool him. We tried public school a couple of times, and the anxiety was just ridiculous. He was either not handling it while he was at school, or when we thought he was, he'd come home and then he'd get aggressive towards the other two kids. And so I don't know. We had issues with our district, and so we ended up just pulling him out, because I don't think that their special ed people necessarily know a whole lot about autism other than the basic stuff. And so he wasn't getting what he needed, and he had very little gain from what he knew going in and what he knew coming out. But whenever we got him out at the end of the year, most of the stuff he had learned was from my wife working with him, and just, our other two kids interacting with him, me interacting with him, and then, his therapies. So, anyway, school was not for him, and I think we're probably about 2 years away, hopefully. We would like to get him back, because, I mean, interacting with our kids is something that would be good for him if he can handle it. But if he can't handle it, he's not going to learn anything from being there, because he's going to be so anxious and everything else that he's going to focus on that. So anyway, but yeah, it's been a rough ride. We learned that you just got to look for the positives, especially when stuff's going on every day or you can't communicate with your child. And you just got to hang on to the positive moments and just focus on those when things get rough, because if not, you're going to be miserable. And it's very easy to get down over it and watching your child be miserable, because at times they will be miserable, just being who they are. And so, I would encourage everyone to just hang in there, keep fighting for your child. If the doctor does not work out or a therapist doesn't work out, find somebody else until you get the answers you need and the treatment your child needs. And just hang in there is all I can say to encourage people because, it's a rough road. I ain't gonna lie, it's not for the weak of heart, faint of heart, but everyone can you can get through it and, get the right treatment and therapies, and your child can get through it. And we had to do that with my stepson as well. There's a couple of times he had to get counseling and therapy and whatnot, but his always got kind of corrected. Now there was a few times where he'd get up to where he should be, and then I guess he'd kind of get passed up. Like as he got older, he wouldn't be where he needed to be, and we'd have to get more. But his was never long-term continuous therapies like my youngest is. So anyway, and he's functioning, coping pretty well. I mean, we're proud of him for being able to work a part-time job. He got that job on his own and shows up every day, does what he's supposed to do, and gets a paycheck and loves it. So anyway, but my wife and I, we have a website. It's www.south, SOUTH, Texas, TEXAS, autism, AUTISM .org. And then we're on Twitter at STX Autism. And then Facebook, I think it's just South Texas Autism, facebook.com/SouthTexasAutism. But feel free to follow us there. You can message us through the website. We always try to help people. We've got a list of certain resources. And if you're in the Corpus Christi, Texas area and you're looking for therapists or doctors or whatnot, and even social groups. We had never been, but there's also a Autism Spectrum Resource Center out of Corpus Christi, and I think it's ASRC-CC.org. I can't remember. Or you can just Google them, Autism Spectrum Resource Center, Corpus Christi, and you can find their website. And then they have a Facebook page and make a Facebook group. I know I'm part of the group, but then they have meetups and stuff where it's other kids like, and maybe similar to your child. And no two children or no two people are alike when it comes to autism. They don't know what causes it. No known cause, no known cure, and no two people are exactly alike. So, but you can at least maybe talk to other parents who offer you advice or, recommend doctors, therapists, or whatever, pass on their experiences. So anyway, but hopefully y'all enjoy this. Hopefully it helps somebody. And I'm out, but I will talk to y'all again later this week or next weekend. Thanks a lot for listening. Bye-bye.